Happy Resurrection Day, everyone. Hallelujah. We celebrate our risen Lord and Savior today. There's no better place to celebrate Jesus than coming together as the body of Christ and celebrate the resurrection of our Lord and Savior. We are so excited that you're here, and we are so excited for what God has done for us. Amen. Amen. Last year at this time, last Easter, there was no Easter services. We couldn't have Easter services. We didn't come together last year. We had no building last year. We had no place to have church last year. The theater was closed down, but God always makes a way, doesn't he? And Jesus is the way. Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. No one can come to the Father except through him. And there is no other way to get to heaven. No other way of eternal life except through Jesus Christ. He is the only way. And that is why we celebrate today. Because Jesus is the resurrected Christ. Amen. And he has made a way for us. He has made a way for us to spend eternal life with the Father. Yes. And to have abundant life here on this earth.
That's right.
So we thank him and we praise him.
Wow. Wrong person's preaching today, that's for sure. You know, it's been 10 years. Most of you have noticed. There's a reason. Somebody said, well, there's always a reason for what you do. There is. It's been 10 years ago since I've worn a suit. So if you're a guest here, this is not normal, so it's special for you today.
Well, for Easter.
For Easter, yeah.
You've worn a suit since.
Well, no, not... No.
Not for church.
Not for church, yeah. She wants to make sure I wear suits, right, yeah. Jeez. Okay, where was I going after I was interrupted? Okay, all right. Last time I wore a suit was our first Easter service in the theater. All that time ago, a decade ago, this Easter. And today I wear a suit for a purpose. Yes, it is Easter, but it's to celebrate something of great magnitude to all of us. And we're not going to forget what God has done. I'm wearing a suit today because, Kathy, put it up, because Rochelle doesn't have to carry monitors anymore. We are no longer portable. We would load and unload a trailer 4 times a Sunday. And then for years, we walked the length of the theater, bringing equipment down to the other end of the theater. I wear a suit today in remembrance of that first Sunday, because this is our first Sunday, our first Easter, in the building God provided.
Yes. Woo! Yeah.
In the middle of a pandemic, when it got to the point where we didn't know that we would continue because the theater said it's indefinite now, God was faithful. This is a gift from God. No man can take credit for it. You're sitting in a building that God provided. So I'm going to ask you, and I'm going to ask our guest, to stand to your feet. And let's give praise and give worship to God the Father for the gift that he has given us on this Easter Sunday. Father, thank you. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for all the years that you provided a place at the Cinemark Theater. Lord, bless that manager and all of his help, God. He did over and above what they would even allow him to do. He did for us. God bless them. And God, thank you for that season. And God, we thank you for the new beginnings that are here. Yes. Here in this place. This gift from you. Yes. As the sign says, going into the offices. This is a gift from God and no man can take credit for it. God is faithful. Woo! Lord, we worship you and give you glory today. Amen. On this Easter Sunday. Amen. Thank you, Father God. Thank you. Amen.
Amen.
Thank you, Jesus.
Woo!
You may be seated. There's a purpose for this building. I know that not all of you could be here, but on Friday night, we had our glow-in-the-dark Easter egg hunt. I quit counting at 220 parents and children. I stopped counting. This room was full. The foyer was full. It was full of people outside. We were all out. I mean, it was just people were everywhere. I know that they didn't get them all registered, but somewhere they got registered at least 97 kids. There was more than that. God provided this place for a purpose. And part of that purpose was reaching our community Friday night. People came as far away as DeSoto, Fort Worth, White Settlement, to come here. And God provided this place so that we could handle over 200 people. Give God praise. Thank you, Jesus. And when you get a chance, why don't you just take a detour for a few moments, go back into the children's ministry area, and give them high fives and fist pumps for what they did. Because we were expecting 75, maybe 100, and it was well over 220. I tell you what, the team was amazing. They were amazing. They were patient and graceful. Parents even commented about that. They could tell we weren't prepared for that many people. But guess what? The kids had a blast. And a lot of the parents were commenting they were having a blast. And we were thanked over and over for doing this for the communities. Remember, we're a church of 13 communities. What we do for the communities. And give God praise. When you think, is anything going on down there at NEC? Oh, yeah. God's up to something. I'm going to say it again. I've been saying it for a while because it's true. God's up to something large here. God's up to something large. I conclude my series today here on this Easter Sunday as I'm addressing statements that Jesus made about himself. He made this statement that I am. And he said that seven times. He made seven separate statements about I am. Today, we will look at two more on this Easter Sunday. So as I've said before, and I will continue to say until it just becomes a part of who we are, have an ear to hear and do not allow yourself to be distracted. But not only that, as we read the Word of God, don't just hear it, don't just read it with me, but begin to live the moment of what's being said. Live the Bible. In John chapter 10, verse 9, Jesus said, I am the door. Anyone, you need to double underline anyone who enters through me. You need to double underline that again. I'm going to read it again. I am the door. Anyone who enters in through me will be saved and will live. Jesus is the only door to salvation and eternal life. I'm going to say it again. Jesus is the only door to salvation and eternal life. Only through Jesus. So that we can be with him for eternity. There's one door. Jesus said, I'm the door. I'm the door. There is no other door. I'm the door. And anyone, I'm going to say it again, anyone, anyone who will step through the door of Jesus Christ is welcome. He died for them. John 10:8, just prior to that verse, Jesus says something of great importance. In verse 8, he says, all others who came as such before me are thieves and robbers. Let me say this to you, it is a truth. Today, there are thieves and robbers who want to tell you there is another way. There are thieves and robbers who want to declare that there are other doors to eternal life. They are lies, and they are false. There is one door, Jesus Christ. He's the only way to salvation. Jesus is the only true way. It's through Jesus. There is no other door to eternal life. No other door. And my pen truth number one today is, there are not multiple ways to God the Father. There's one and only one. We've got to settle that. There's only one. As lost and messed up as I was on December 28th, 1983, underneath that mobile home, when it's sleeting outside, it's wind chilled at 6 degrees. As lost as I was, as messed up as I was, I knew there was only one door. One door. There's only one door. Now I'm going to read a passage of Scripture to you that might seem a little odd in an Easter message, but it is a very important verse of Scripture. Because Jesus is making a very strong point about eternal life and the importance of being forgiven by the blood of Jesus through Jesus Christ's death on the cross from our sins. And to lay our sins at the base of the cross. To lay it at the foot of the cross and let Him take care of things. And in Mark chapter 9 verse 43. And if your hand causes you to sin, cut it off. It is better for you to enter life crippled than with two hands to go to hell, to the unquenchable fire. Now let me read that from the New Living Translation. If your hand causes you to sin, cut it off. It's better to enter eternal life with only one hand than to go into the unquenchable fires of hell with two hands. Hell is a real place. I'm not here to speak on all the scriptures about hell. Hell is a real place. And Jesus said it's so real, you'd be better off to have a member of your body gone than to have it and miss out on eternal life. Because the fire and the torment and the torture of hell is unquenchable. I want you to live in a place where there is no worry, there is no sickness, there is no place anywhere where you cannot be at total peace all the time. There's only one way to that, and it's through Jesus Christ. Any ideas, any concepts, any teachings, any philosophies that go against what Jesus teaches in this word is a lie. And it's false. Anything that is spoken of that's contrary to what Jesus says in the Holy Book, the Bible, the written word, is a lie, and it's false. There's only one door, one way, and it's through Jesus. Only one way. Pen truth number two, Jesus is that door, and He alone offers the true path to salvation. There's one path, not multiple. One path. One path to salvation. We live in a time, and I'm not going to go into all the different things I could just list, but we live now in this country where it's being pressed upon us that the way that we believe is not the only way. It is the only way. There is no other way. John 14:6 says, Jesus said to him, I am. Here comes that other I am. I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. Either we believe the Word of God or we don't. There are no other doors. There's one door. It's through Jesus. Well, don't you think everybody knows that? No. Someone watching me online this morning has been wondering about this, and they needed someone to tell them the truth. There's only one door, one way. Pin truth number three, Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life to God and our only door to salvation. Jesus, on Palm Sunday, rides into the city on a donkey and fulfills Scripture. He has a meal with his disciples, the Last Supper. And we're going to take communion here at the end of the service. He has the Last Supper with them and teaches them several things that they didn't understand at the time. Then Jesus asked them to go with him and pray. And to me, the most important verse in the entire Bible for Christianity happens in the garden. When Jesus separates himself, he's in great anguish, and he tells the Father, "Not my will, but your will be done." The battle cry of the church should be, "Father, not our will, your will be done." The moment of surrender. And Jesus fully and completely surrenders his life. He goes and speaks to the disciples to get them stirred up. I thought he was very kind in his rebuke. And they come to get him. Jesus is arrested. This wasn't a parade to Caiaphas, the high priest. They began to abuse Jesus from the moment they arrested him. Jesus, for hours and hours and hours, was beaten, mocked, spit on. Crown of thorns drove down into his head. He was tortured, beaten some more, whipped with a cat of nine tails until his body was just ripped apart. Jesus, in the garden, said, "Father, your will be done." Jesus paid the ultimate price for our freedom. Let me read a passage of Scripture to you that will not be on the screen. It's from Isaiah, speaking of how Jesus appeared. In Isaiah 52, 14, it says, "Just as there were many who were appalled at him, his appearance was so disfigured beyond that of any man, and his form marred beyond human likeness." Jesus, the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, laid his life down so that there would be a door, a pathway to Father God and eternal life. There's only one door. And only one person has paid that ultimate sacrifice, and it's Jesus. Leads me to pin truth number four about something I'm about to unpack to you. It's personal. What I'm about to talk to you about the moment the door opened, this still stands for me as one of the most mind-blowing events of the Easter story. Now read with me. Matthew 27, beginning in verse 45. "Now from the sixth hour, there was darkness over all the land until the ninth hour." Now Jesus is on the cross. I've already described his condition by the time they nailed him on the cross. "And about the ninth hour, Jesus cried out with a loud voice, saying, 'Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani,' that is, 'My God, my God, why have you forsaken me?'" Verse 47. "And some of the bystanders, hearing it, said, 'This man is calling Elijah.' And one of them at once ran and took a sponge, filled it with sour wine, and put it on a reed and gave it to him to drink." That was a fulfillment of prophecy. "But the others said, 'Wait, let us see whether Elijah will come to save him.' And Jesus cried out again with a loud voice and yielded up his spirit. Now here comes a mind-blowing moment in Scripture. And I'm going to explain it. And behold, the curtain of the temple was torn in two from the top to the bottom, and the earth shook and the rocks were split, and people came out of their graves. The power of an innocent lamb sacrificed on the cross for us, the power of resurrection was seen. Read the scriptures. And it didn't just happen for a little bit of time. It happened for a while. I mean, go read that and don't just read it as though it's a storybook tale. It's no storybook tale. It happened. In that moment, the power of the resurrection was exposed. In this passage of Scripture, God gives a dramatic, eye-opening revelation of what the cross accomplished. And I'm going to take you deeper into that accomplishment. The veil that was in the temple that was torn. There were two. But this was the main one. This veil that was torn from the top to the bottom didn't have a seam in it. It was one continuous piece. And it was 4 inches thick. I want you to think about that. One continuous piece, 4 inches thick. Actually, the high priest, the only one that could go into the Holy of Holies, it separated the Holy of Holies from the holy place where the other priests were that did all the things that they were instructed to do. Only the high priest could go, and he had to go under this curtain, practically crawl under this curtain to get into the holy place, Holy of Holies. This curtain, one continuous piece, not only was it 4 inches thick, I want you to look up at the ceiling. I think we're about 25, 26 feet here, John, something like that. This curtain was 60 feet tall and 30 feet wide. And it split from the top to the bottom. God, at that moment, when Jesus said, "It is finished," Jesus' death split the curtain in two and opened a door where we would never, ever have to go through the priest again, never, ever have to do a blood sacrifice again. We had an open door directly to God through the sacrifice of Jesus Christ. When Jesus said, "I am the door," the curtain was the physical moment of truth. When it split in two, Jesus truly became the door, the only way. He said, "I'm the door." When that curtain split, no longer would anyone have to go to the priest. This unprecedented event, no man could have done it. I've read stuff where people say, "Well, I think somebody, you know, just, oh, come on." A supernatural moment. No longer the priest needed, was no longer necessary. Everyone now had direct access to God through Jesus Christ. Everyone. Let me drill a little deeper on that. Number one, a barrier was removed. I would have loved to have been in the room if there had been any priest when that happened. I can just see them. "We got to figure out how to fix this. They're going to think they can all come in here." Been nice to have been documented angels standing there going, "They can." Hebrews 7:15. Barrier was removed. Verse 15 says, This change has been made very clear since a different priest who is like Melchizedek has appeared. Now, Melchizedek is an Old Testament king who was also a priest before God. So the writer is drawing a comparison. Verse 16, Jesus became a priest, not by meeting the physical requirement of belonging to the tribe of Levi, but by the power of a life that cannot be destroyed. And the psalmist pointed this out when he prophesied, "You are a priest forever in the order of Melchizedek." We have a high priest, and his name is Jesus Christ. We have direct access to the throne room of God. Yes, Holy Spirit, hang on here. I don't care how bad things have been or things you've done, or if you've gotten off course a little bit, you still have access to the throne of God. To meet with him and let him take care of stuff. Number two, a road was open, Hebrews 10:19. And so, dear brothers and sisters, we can boldly enter heaven's most holy place because of the blood of Jesus. Most holy place because of the blood of Jesus. If you're watching me online, don't shut me out yet. I have zero place with the Queen of England. I have no standing with the Queen of England. Corey Smithy cannot get an appointment with the Queen of England. I have no place or no standing. But I have a place, and I have a standing. Because of the blood of Jesus Christ. And because underneath that trailer on that day, I stepped through that door. Into the most holy place and let God take control of my life. And surrendered my life and said, "God, not mine, but yours now." I have a place. I have a standing. Matter of fact, I don't know about you, but I have a 24-hour-a-day open appointment with the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Anytime I want it. Jesus provided instant access and audience with God the Father. Anytime I want it. Jesus did that. Jesus opened the road to the throne room of God. Jesus. The only door. The only door. God is inviting you today. God is inviting you. You may be sitting in your living room. You may be sitting with family. I don't know where you're at. You may be camping and watching us, but God is inviting you into his house. Hebrews 10:20 says, "By his death, Jesus opened a new and a life-giving way through the curtain into the most holy place." You don't think the curtain splitting was important? It's in Scripture. After the fact, bringing it up, that we must never forget the miracle of what took place on the cross. When Jesus said, "It's finished," the door was opened. He's the only door. He's the only door. And this is God's gift to those who will trust in his Son. I'm going to stress this. This is God's gift for those who will trust in his Son as their Lord and their Savior. It's important to make that point again. And right now that door is wide open, and I'm going to say it again, for anyone. 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 I know you have people say that just can't. No, even for them. If they come and trust Jesus as their Lord and Savior. Well, they're beyond it. I refuse to believe that anybody is beyond it. Makes no sense to be a Christian, just think people are beyond the power and the dominion of God's word. We must believe. We must continue. As Pastor Jeff told us, he made it very clear, the church that God blesses. And who's the church? You are. And one of the things he brought out was, don't keep Jesus to yourself. Don't keep Jesus to yourself. Romans 8, verse 1 says, and so now there is no condemnation for those who belong to Christ Jesus. And because you belong to him, the power of the life-giving Spirit has freed you from the power of sin that leads to death. The door. Trusting in him. Do you think your sins, your offenses, your crimes, your transgressions are beyond the ability of the price Jesus paid to set you free? Not hardly. But so-and-so did. I'm telling you. As bad as we pinpoint certain things, if they'll trust in Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior, they shall be saved. And he'll start cleaning up the house. He doesn't ask you to get your house clean first. He says, come into my house. Let me put my arms around you. I can clean you up better than you ever could. But you're going to have to submit yourself to me. But you're going to have to submit yourself to me. Boy, that amen came kind of slow. Pin truth number 5. God's house is open to anyone at any time to receive the peace they seek. Is our world without peace? We need to quit keeping Jesus to ourselves. Because a lot of people need the peace that we know. Oh, I know you go through things. But there's an abiding peace that will arise even in the worst of moments. If you what? Trust him. Trust him. Pin truth number 6, the torn curtain was God's way of saying to you personally, you are welcome. You are welcome into my house. You are welcome into my house. I had family members. I had heard behind doors when they didn't know I was listening. Today they tell stories about just the transformation is just blows their mind. I would hear them say, he'll never amount to anything. He'll be messed up and probably lost. We'll never reach him. And there were people who gave up on me except her. And some others. Never, ever give up or give in. Or give in. I think my kids would rather have a saved dad than an unsaved dad, although the girls knew an unsaved dad for a little while. Why am I sharing all this? On a personal level, because no one, I say again, no one is beyond the love of God. His mercy, his grace, his sacrifice was not for a few, it was for all. For all. It was for all. Let me make my final statement. I can hear God saying, let nothing keep you away from me. Do not let your sins, your offenses, your crimes, your transgressions, whatever list you may be keeping, keep you away from me. Let me pause there for a moment. Why would I put that? Because I heard that underneath that mobile home. I heard that quiet voice speaking to me. Because you see, when I was under that mobile home and I heard the voice of God calling out to me, I told him my list. and disqualified myself and went on about what I was doing and rejected the voice. Not once, not twice, three times. And the fourth time, I responded. I'm so grateful for his patience. Your sins may be many and great, but the payment made by my dear son Jesus, the great substitute, far outweighs them all. Would you bow your heads for just a moment? Because I'm going to have you raise them back up, man. I want you to just take a moment right here. We need to reflect this morning on the door. Whatever you're facing is not greater than the door you can step through into the throne room of God and trust Him to turn it around. He's the God of the turnaround. Let me tell you this. My God that I serve wants to show up and show off in your behalf. But do we see Jesus as the only door? Or are we seeking other voices? Are we seeking other people's opinions to take care of our issues? Yes, there are people out there who can help us and God can lead us to them. But where's the first source of where we reach? Is it to the door that is wide open to the throne room of God asking Him, what should I do? It is time for some of you watching me online and in this room right now, it's time that you experience how great God's mercy truly is. You're sitting here today, you're watching me online, and you've been hearing a voice. You've been hearing it for some time. You know it's something, you don't know why you know it, but you know it's something holy. It's beyond any other voice you've heard. You can tell it's a life-changing voice, but you keep throwing your list at it. Today, put your list down and follow the voice this morning who's wanting to lead you into the arms of God and into the saving grace of Jesus Christ. You're sitting here today and you say, you know, I'm a Christian, but I feel like in the process of my walk, I've done some things and been doing some things and continue to do some things off and on, and it's my list that I throw back at God why I can't get fully committed. Put your list down. The Father hasn't gone anywhere. He's just been waiting for you to put the list down and come to Him. He's not going to reject you. He's not going to rebuke you. He's going to love you and set you free from all that as you trust Him and as you put your life into His hands. I'm going to ask you to look up at me. There's one thing I believe in all my heart, that if I openly testify of what the Father's done for me, He will openly testify in my behalf and do more. By the time Wednesday came, after I got out from underneath that mobile home, I was telling Rochelle, and she's calling the world in the next 5 minutes. Her mother was so excited, she called right back, thinking she was calling other people. And by the next service, I'm standing before people, and I'm terrified to stand in front of 5 people. And I'm telling everybody what Jesus did for me. Today, if that's you, boldly respond this morning to a God who sent His Son, and His Son boldly sacrificed His life for you. And let God hold you, love you, and bring the changes you've always desired into your life. You say, Pastor, that's me. I need Jesus as my Lord and Savior. Pastor, that's me. I have got to get this thing figured out, and I know the only way is to just get fully committed and submitted to Him. Would you raise your hand and say, that's me? Anyone else? I see hands going up. Anyone else? Don't let people around you, like, they'll see me. That's okay. I can't see you out there, but I'm going to ask you who are out there and live with us today, why don't you just stand up where you're at as your statement to God, I'm one of those. Now I'm going to ask the church to begin to intercede. And those who raised their hand this morning, I want you to let this be the prayer of your heart, not my prayer, but the prayer of your heart, to fully get connected, to make Jesus the Lord of your life, or to fully commit your life to Christ from the standpoint of, I'm going to trust Him to change it. I'm going to get connected and stay connected and quit throwing my stuff at God to justify things, but I'm going to lay it down. Father, Thy will, not my own. Pray with me. Father, in the name of Jesus, I come to You by faith, feeling like that there's just too much stuff in my life. I don't know how You're going to fix it. I don't even know. It's just a mess. But I know I need You as my Lord and Savior today. And I stand in agreement and affirm that Jesus lived and He died on a cross just for me. And today I receive Him as my Lord and my Savior, as the King of my life. And I'll take the next step and trust Him to walk as His son or His daughter today. So Jesus, I ask You into my heart. I lay my life and all the mess that it is before You. The Bible calls it a sinful way of living. I just call it, I've just lived a messed up life full of stuff that's not good. And I lay all that before You, and I thank You for forgiving me for all of that. And I receive Your forgiveness today. Father, I have just allowed life and the things in life to be more important to me than You. And when it's convenient, I decide to do what I want to do instead of what You want me to do. And it has led me into places that I should have never gone. Today, I lay that list of things down before You and receive Your forgiveness. And I say, Thy will be done in my life, not mine. And I submit to You and I trust You. And I thank You, Father. Amen. We're going to take communion this morning in the time that we have left. We're going over a little bit. This is Easter. But for those of you that are watching me online, I'm going to encourage you to do something. When you get the opportunity, it doesn't matter. Go get a root beer. That happened one time, one of the services. We ran out of juice and somebody started pouring root beer in everybody's cup. It's about why you're doing it. Get you some bread, get you something, a juice, water. Just get something. And today, take communion. Watch what we're doing here today and learn. And then, if this is your first time to do it as a Christian, praise God that you take communion today. For anybody in here, today's your first time to take it knowing that you're clean. Praise God. Amen. Paul told everyone to make sure that they took a moment and a season to make sure they were not taking this unworthily. So often we take communion not even thinking about how we're living our lives. And actually we do a dishonor to what the Father God has done for us by sending His Son. We need to examine our hearts today. Not just today, every time. So just bow your head and examine your heart right now. Be I mean, be serious about this before you take communion. Examine your heart. If there's anything, don't make this a ritual. Make this holy. And if there's anything, lay it at His feet right now. He's a good, good Father. He's merciful and loving and kind. And He will forgive you if it's from your heart. If you're just doing it to be doing it, that's not good. It needs to be from your heart. Father, we lay down what is in our lives that's between us and You before we take communion. We lay that down.
The Bible says that Jesus, when He gathered His disciples in the upper room for the Last Supper, He broke the bread and gave them bread. And He said, "Eat this and do it in remembrance of Me." And that is what we do through the generations. We take the Lord's Supper, symbols of the Lord's Supper. The wafer that we have here is a symbol of the bread, a symbol of His broken body that He allowed to be broken and bruised and crushed and ripped open for us. In Isaiah, it says He was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. Surely He bore our sorrows, and by His wounds we are healed. So as we partake of the symbol of His body today, in remembrance of Him, we do this in remembrance of the sacrifice of Him giving His life for us, of Him allowing His life and His body to be broken and crushed and bruised and torn for us. He did it for us. So we do this in remembrance of what He has done and His love. And as you do, if you need healing in your body, if you're online or if you're here in the service, if you need a healing in your body, and Jesper, this is for you, healing, then proclaim your healing. Declare your healing today. Receive your healing as we partake.
Matter of fact, anyone that needs a healing, stand right now.
Yes.
Just stand up. Come on, stand up. Your step of faith, stand up.
And you receive by faith your healing today. And you will be healed. You are healed in the name of Jesus.
Yes.
Because He's already paid the price. And He has declared that you are healed. So, Lord, we just thank You, Jesus, for
yes.
what You've done for us.
Yes.
Thank You for giving Your life for us. Thank You for allowing Your body to be torn and broken and beaten and crushed for us so that we may be healed.
Yes.
Whether it's emotional, whether it's physical, whatever kind of healing we need, we may be healed because You've already provided it. You've already paid the price for our healing and for our salvation. So we receive it
yes.
now because it's already been done.
Yes.
And all we have to do is believe and receive.
Yes.
So we receive it now. And I thank You, Lord, that Your healing power is flowing out
yes.
in this place today
thank
and
you,
flowing
Jesus.
Into the homes and places of those that are watching online. I thank You that Your healing power
yes.
has been released today.
Yes.
Now receive
yes.
it now in Jesus' name. For by His wounds you are the healed of the Lord through Christ Jesus.
Amen.
And we thank You for it, Lord. And so, Lord, we partake now of Your body in remembrance of what You have done for us.
Yes.
And we thank You for Your healing power that we are healed. In Jesus' name, partake.
Thank You, Jesus. Would we all stand as we take of the cup? Jesus told the disciples as He poured the wine in the cup, He said, "Drink, for this is My blood. Do this in remembrance of Me." Last Sunday and today, it's been very clear about the blood of Jesus Christ that was shed. Matter of fact, on the way to the cross, from the moment He was arrested in the garden, there were seven places that His blood was spilled. Jesus did all of that so that you could be made white as snow. So as we partake of this juice today, we do it in remembrance of the fact that the door was kicked wide open and we could come to the throne room of God and be made white as snow. Father, as we lift this cup to you, we do this in remembrance that Jesus is the door. Jesus is the truth, the life, and the only way to being set free from sin and death. And we praise you and give you glory. We worship you today, God. And thank you for the shed blood of Jesus Christ. And as we drink of this, we do this in remembrance that by the power of the blood, I am free. Let us partake. Before you leave, if you would, your cup, it's very simple, right in front of you. There's a rack under the chair in front of you. There's a place to put that cup. You can put the cup right there. We'll pick them up later. If you're a guest with us for the first time, would you please stop by the Connection Center? If you haven't already received a bag, we want to get a bag to you. And one of the things I like to say, you don't want to miss the bag because there's something in there you're going to want. I'm serious. So I encourage you to get it. We ask you to fill out the Connection card as much as you're comfortable with. We're not going to bombard you with phone calls and emails, but would you please fill out that card? We would greatly appreciate it. Would you raise your hands and let's just worship God one more time today on this Resurrection Sunday. We thank you, Father. We give you praise and we give you glory. For you are the Lion of Judah. You are the Lily of the Valley. You're the Bright and Morning Star. You are King Jesus, and we worship you. Amen, and you're dismissed.